Do you prefer being called counselor?
Today is okay. You don't have to call me that today.
Okay. But many days you are called counselor.
Yeah, you know, it happens from time to time.
And who are you?
I'm Amy Atwood. I'm a senior attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. I'm based in our Portland, Oregon office. I work in our endangered species program. And so I work to get species protected under the Endangered Species Act when they need protection and to retain protections when they need it. And I try to bring lawsuits to stop things that threaten their existence. So I'm working on, for example, you know, potential lawsuit against Keystone XL, the pipeline.
Oh,
because
thank you for that. Seriously, I hope you win.
Well, we'll see if the lawsuit's necessary. If we do have to file that lawsuit, then, you know, it will have been many years in the making, just like the project itself.
Oh, that thing is so, let's say, short-sighted. Yeah. Let's just start there.
Yeah, contrary to the national interest for many, many reasons,
yes.
Not the least of which is the bad and horrible things it will do to our nation's biodiversity.
Yeah. So I got a call from Cynthia Elkins from the Center for Biological Diversity, an organization that some people do not know very much about. What's the thumbnail on your work?
We're a national environmental group. We were founded in the American Southwest 25 years ago. Our mission is to protect biodiversity. And so we use the law, science, whatever kind of creative media we can think of to try to do that. If you've ever heard of our endangered species condoms, they're very popular right now.
I have not.
Yeah, but I should have brought some for you.
Oh, my God. We're gonna
look it up.
We're going to table that for now. Okay, so Councillor Atwood, what is the short pitch on biodiversity? It seems to be one of these things where... you know, for instance, here we've got a federally listed species, right? This the Humboldt Bay wallflower lives in the dunes, and it has to have this specific sort of habitat so that it can do its thing. We have another one, the marbled murrelet.
Mm-hmm.
Marbled murrelet has to have huge tree branches because for whatever idiotic reason, it decided to never make nests.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to have these enormous branches. This is why we protect the trees and so forth. But it's very easy for somebody to go, what's one bird? What's one wallflower? Like, who cares? What is the case for biodiversity?
Well,
remember, bear in mind, I'm very dumb. So explain it to a dumb person.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, me too.
Biodiversity is incredibly important. It's not something that we talk about a lot because a lot of the times our brothers and sisters that we share this planet with don't have the voice. Here at the center, we try and be that voice. Biodiversity is also called the web of life. It's the entire kingdom of species that makes it up and sustains us. You know, we are probably, I guess you would say, a smart species, relatively smart species, but there's a lot that we don't know. And we passed the Endangered Species Act over 40 years ago in recognition of how much we don't know and how important it is to protect every cogs in the every part of the puzzle, every strand in that web of life, because we can never know, you know, how important it is to the integrity of an ecosystem or to the planet's functioning overall. And biodiversity is under tremendous threat right now. We're in an era of mass extinction. It's the sixth era of mass extinction that the Earth has witnessed and had to deal with. We're losing, some say, up to 140,000 species every day. As we expand our influence and our footprint across the
140,000.
Globe. Yeah, when you account for the species that we don't even know about and how many species people think that there could be on this planet, you know, that's definitely a high estimate, but it could be that big of an impact that we're having on our Earth.
Yeah, and you just never know. We don't have enough. I mean, we're in this technological and biological, in terms of scientific understanding, we're in this sort of adolescence of knowing how these things work together. And there's no undo. There's no control Z for losing a species. Did you hear that Radiolab about mosquitoes?
No.
No? You know that show Radiolab?
Not very well.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. This is This American Life for nerds, right?
Oh,
and so
I'll
what
check that out.
Actually, yeah, you would. They talk about mosquitoes being responsible for something like half of all human deaths since the Stone Age. Half of human deaths since the Stone Age. So the case is like, why don't we just take out this species? And then they examine why you would want to do that versus why you would not want to remove mosquitoes from, you know, the food web. And it turns out you don't want to.
Right.
Damn, it's kind of a bummer because they're super annoying.
Well, you know, some would say life is suffering. I mean, you know, this is the best planet that we know of. It certainly has some drawbacks. Mosquitoes are one of them. But I, you know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's true. It is the best one that we got right now. Yeah. Okay, so you are in town from Portland, and I reckon that you as an attorney, your time is not cheap. It must be an important thing that brought you 300, 400 miles down here.
Yeah.
What is the thing that brought you here?
We are asking the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors to terminate its county contract with Wildlife Services, which is a federal program within the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which kills up to over 4 million animals in this country every year. Most of that is on behalf of private interests. The program has been around for about 100 years. It was created when our government policies were expressly for the purpose of eliminating certain species from the landscape, not mosquitoes, but apex predators like gray wolves, grizzly bears. We've targeted coyotes and mountain lions also, but to less effect. Those species tend to do better in maintaining a presence on the landscape despite human persecution. But for some species, you know, these kinds of policies have been absolutely devastating. And we have had to pass laws like the Endangered Species Act and other laws in order to bring these species back. We've invested millions of dollars into that. And yet this program, Wildlife Services, is still around, still conducting business. And as it operates on behalf of cooperators, or what they're called. And these are usually private, federal, state, or local entities, government or private, which are entering into contractual arrangements with Wildlife Services. And they pay Wildlife Services to come in, trap, shoot, poison species or animals that are considered to be nuisance animals. And so in Humboldt County, they have been over the last...
That's totally normal. Trust me, that's a thing. There's an air raid siren over there. It signals noon. It's now noon.
Oh, wow.
Counselor Atwood. Wait, just to circle back just for a sec. So the thumbnail on this thing, USDA runs Wildlife Services.
Yes.
But they don't have a whole lot of oversight over Wildlife Services. And county governments, for instance, can call Wildlife Services and say, look, we're Humboldt County. We've got some awesome ranch land. However, mm-hmm. we have these pesky bears that keep eating our ranch things.
Yeah.
Can you come get rid of the bears? And then they'll come in and get rid of the bears. And this goes back 100 years. That's basically the organization that you are looking at right now.
Basically.
Okay.
With a few minor permutations. But yes, basically.
Okay. Significant enough to address right now?
Well, I should say that the Humboldt County contract, most in terms of what we know, which, you know, I say this all the time, wherever you are on the political spectrum, there's a reason to hate Wildlife Services, okay? But one reason that everyone would point to is the lack of transparency. And so there's a fundamental unreliability in the information that they put out there. But in terms of what we know from their own reports, about 70 to 80% of the animals that they kill in Humboldt County are possums, raccoons, and skunks. So these are, you know, animals that are causing a problem at someone's home. This is not normally a situation involving rabies or some sort of awful disease. It's just sort of, you know, I have a raccoon that's, you know, under my home. I don't know what to do about it. So I call the county and they come out and take care of it. Well, what happened a couple months ago here in Humboldt County was that exactly happened, is that somebody had a raccoon under their home. They called the county. County took, called Wildlife Services. Wildlife Services came out, trapped the raccoon, told the homeowner that it was a male, and killed it. Well, it turned out that was not a male, it was a female, and it had babies under the home. And so a week later, these homeowners started to smell a very awful smell and realized, to their horror, that baby raccoons had starved to death beneath their home. And so it's these kinds of practices that we have a problem with. This is not unusual in my in my research, I've come across many other examples of this. We just don't think it's appropriate in this day and age for taxpayer dollars to be going toward this when there are better options, non-lethal methods that can do a better job, are cheaper, and don't result in this kind of, you know, suffering.
How did we get from protecting ranching interests 100 years ago to come get this raccoon from under my house?
Well, you know, they just have a full suite of methods, poisons, traps, all different kinds of traps. They do all kinds of shooting of wildlife, including from the air, aerial gunning. And, you know, what the heck? Why don't we just sort of extend, you know, once we eliminated apex predators from the landscape, we released mesopredators. Okay, bear with me. This is a very technical term, but basically what that means is when you take out the top rung of the food chain, you release abundance in the lower levels of the food chain.
So yeah, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah, so when you eliminate wolves, you have an abundance of coyotes. When you eliminate coyotes, you have an abundance of raccoons and skunks and everything on down the line. So when we've been messing with these ecosystems like we have, we've done nothing really but create more problems for ourselves.
Let's flip the script. What is your favorite part about Wildlife Services? Like, what's a thing that they're doing right?
You know, they will say, we do so many good things. We get rid of birds at airports so that, you know, planes don't fly and hit birds and crash. That's a good thing. We kill animals that have diseases like rabies, and we kill invasive species. Now, out of those three, the one I like the most is that they deal with invasive species. Invasive species is one of the primary threats to biodiversity in North America and worldwide. It will increasingly become one as climate change's effects intensify, and it needs to be addressed. However, the problem is that you still have these tactics which, you know, are cruel and inhumane. So we need a standard of ethics, we need professionalism, and we need them to be acting on behalf of the public at large and not these narrow special cooperator interests. For example, Burmese pythons, huge problem in the Florida Everglades. Wildlife Services has a trap that they've created to deal with this problem. They're not using it. Instead, they're dealing with European starlings, which threaten agriculture. Or, I'm trying to think of another good example. There are a lot of different bird species that are invasive that they deal with, primarily to protect crops and grain and, you know, feedstock for livestock, things like that.
If you're just joining us, we've got Counselor Atwood. You said not to call you Counselor.
Great. I'm getting used to it.
All I've done is call you that. And she is an attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity. The reason she is in town is because on the supervisor's docket, I believe it is tomorrow on the agenda, they are going to revisit whether or not the County of Humboldt should be doing business or how it should be doing business with Wildlife Services, which is this. The picture you're painting makes it sound like a sort of vestigial branch of government, mm-hmm. one that may have mm-hmm. made more sense in frontier times, but one that is now maybe bloat.
Yeah. So what's up for discussion tomorrow and for a decision, a vote in the afternoon session of the Board of Supervisors meeting, it's number 2 on the agenda of the afternoon session, which begins at 1:30, is whether to renew the annual contract with Wildlife Services. And if they do, this is a contract where the county would pay $67,000 to Wildlife Services to take care of nuisance wildlife. So mostly raccoons, skunks, possums, also coyotes, mountain lions, black bears. And
wait, we need those though.
We do need those.
Yeah.
It turns out we do need those. So, you know, our contention is that And we are backed up by so many experts, the New York Times editorial board, scientists, investigative journalism, I mean, you name it. There are scores and scores of studies out there that back this up, is that there are better ways to deal with these problems, cheaper ways that foster coexistence with the wildlife around us. I mean, the wildlife in Humboldt County is so rich. I mean, it's one of the things that makes me love coming here. And it would be a real shame to see it, you know, continue to be subject to the methods of Wildlife Services. So people can do a few things. One is that they can go to our website, Center for Biological Diversity, and go to our action alerts and send the supervisors an email or give them a phone call and ask them to vote no. They can come out tonight. We're going to be meeting at the D Street Community Center in Arcata from 6 to 8, and we're going to have a few short films and some discussion. And they can also come to the meeting tomorrow and give public comment. Again, it's on the afternoon agenda. And you can also go to change.org. There's a petition that's really taken off based on this raccoon incident a few months ago here in Humboldt County. It already has 120,000 signatures, and it's only been on change.org for about 1 month, and it asks for reform. So go online, send an action alert, sign the change.org petition if that's all you have time for. But if you know you're really moved by this, come out tonight and come out tomorrow. I mean, this is one of those things where you have a nationwide problem, but you also have an opportunity for people who are concerned about this to take action and actually change things locally. And that's what we want to have happen.
Again, if you're just tuning in, Councillor Atwood with the Center for Biological Diversity. Just out of curiosity, sidebar. Was there a point like when you're like 18, you're like, I could either go into law or I could either go into like biology? Is that, you seem torn. Are you torn?
Well, I married a biologist, so I think I took care of it that way.
There you go. Well played, counselor. Okay, so back on topic here. The case for biological diversity is kind of a tricky one, and the case for invasive species is a tricky one,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I am friends with two, like, you know, these hyper smart people, right? Mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. you're just like, their brain is a supercomputer, and I know two of them. I know more than two, but mm-hmm. One of them, her job was to keep... like Guam, right, has a crazy snake problem, yeah. brown tree snakes, right, yeah. where it kills all the birds. You wake up in Guam, yeah. no bird sounds, dead
yeah.
silent,
yeah.
because the birds just hoovered them up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the smart person number one. Smart person number two was like, yeah, well, what if that's just the way the planet works? What if that is how, you know, change sort of foments itself in this day and age? Why should we care about invasive species attached to boats that have floated across from the Japanese tsunami that are now washing up on the Pacific Northwest shores? Why would we care about these mussels, for mm-hmm. instance? Like, mm-hmm. that's just part of the plan. How do you answer to somebody? And that's a thinking person. That is somebody who is, mm-hmm. you know, who cares about the world. Like, what if this is just the way it is?
I think that we have a responsibility to fix the problems that we create, especially when they threaten to undermine life on Earth. And when you talk about invasive species, if you don't address that problem, you're looking at a planet with weeds and a much more desolate, less interesting, less diverse landscape. And who wants to turn that over to their children and grandchildren? We may not be able to fix every problem that we've created at this point, but it's our moral obligation to those future generations that we do everything that we can.
We are getting pretty good at solving problems. We're creating them also, but we're getting... I read today some students in South Wales came up with a solar-powered car that can go 90 miles an hour for 500 miles.
Hmm.
It's got solar panels on the hood. Hmm. Like that. So we are addressing these things. But yeah, when you say maybe life would be terrible and covered with weeds and crows and raccoons, that means...
And mosquitoes.
Yeah, and mosquitoes. If for no other reason, just the cost of everything that sucks in life would go up. Like, you would not have money to buy your PlayStation because a loaf of bread is going to cost $40 because that's what it costs to keep bread going.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane, the projections yeah. that they're looking at if things unravel at the rate that they... might. So
yeah.
That's the case for biodiversity. That's the case for sort of keeping balance balanced.
Yes.
As it were.
Yes.
Did I do that right?
I agree.
Okay. All right. So one last time, you can get a little bit more information over at khum.com, where we've got a press release from the Center for Biological Diversity posted. And it's, you know, you can read it and make of it what you will. If you want to take action on this, if you think the County of Humboldt should rethink its sort of business arrangement with Wildlife Services, which you paint as a shady and questionable organization.
Absolutely.
then tell people where and when to go.
You can go to our website and go under Action Alerts, and you can easily, very easily from there, send a short message to your board of supervisor and to your supervisor, asking them to reject renewal of the Wildlife Services contract. You can come out to the D Street Community Center tonight from 6 to 8 and learn more. And I'll be there and other folks will be there. And you can come to the Board of Supervisors meeting tomorrow afternoon starting at 1:30 and offer your public comment asking them to sever the contract with Wildlife Services.
Just final thought. What if they do? Then what happens if there's a raccoon under my house?
I have a contact named Monty Merrick that you should call.
He's been on the show.
Who will come out and probably tell you to just wait for that raccoon to finish denning for that spring and for those babies to grow up and disperse. And then he'll work with you to plug up the holes under your house so that doesn't happen next year.
Seems like a much better plan. I got these birds that live over one of these audio studios over there. And every year they have these hatchlings up there. And every year I go, I should close that hole. And then I go, you know what? I love the sound of it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Well, it's one of the things that makes Humboldt County so great, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I find a lot of people talk about how much they like that and wouldn't change that for the world. And, you know, there's just a few who feel like, you know, we need to kill.
Less and less. Thank you so much, Counselor. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Yeah, that you're in town on your very expensive lawyer bills.
Trust me. It won't be that often. Right. I'd be happy to call in.
That might be, you know, just the footprint of that would be much less. All right, we got to take a break. It is K-Hum Radio Without the Rules. And thanks again to our guest. Let's take this.